for America.
You can shake your head all you want to, Commissioner. You have said today that there's no evidence of criminal wrongdoing. And I'm asking you what criminal statutes you have reviewed to reach that conclusion.
I've reviewed no criminal statute.
Fighting for Idaho.
They got a phone call from Senator Risch and a phone call from Senator Crapo saying, you know, we'd like you to support our governor and the establishment and just take Senator Risch's son's letter to be the fact.
Fighting for you.
Just recently read a few articles on the effectiveness of performing the Heimlich maneuver on drowning victims before starting CPR. I was in the right place at the right time. There's over 250 Boise firefighters who would have done the same thing.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
All right, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Don't forget your last day to get the big bracelets to the Boise Music Festival. It ends today. Well, you could still get them. You're just going to have to pay more. But we've got the special now till midnight tonight, BoiseMusicFestival.com. All-day carnival wristbands, just $25. All-day carnival wristband and Boise Music Festival ticket, just $35. Remember, Boise Music Festival tomorrow. You've got train, planes, and automobiles. Well, really, trains or Mix-a-Lot. Going to be a great day. The weather, not as hot as it has been in previous Boise Music Festivals. So sit back and enjoy the show. If you see me there, stop by at the KIDO booth. I'll be there very early, and then a little onstage announcements, and then I go home and cry until we talk again on Monday. Joining us now, our great friend Chaz Baines with us to talk about the youth of America. We remember Chaz during the evolution of the Tea Party movement. He and his dad and the family would always be going to these, and we'd have this young man still in high school giving us these great speeches about the history of America. And too many times you have folks like me that sit there and go, bah, 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 the youth of today. And I thought, why not get a conservative perspective from the youth of today? So, Chaz, good to have you with us.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for having me.
So let's talk a little bit about this. For people that have followed you, your career, your speaking and everything else, what have you been up to?
I'm actually going to I'm going to school down in Southern California, and was kind of studying film. And I decided that
film.
Film. I know. It's rough. It's rough. No, I kind of got into that, and I'm not feeling it. So I went to the President University, and I was like, this isn't working. And so he and I sat down and actually mapped out a new course list for me.
No, wait a minute. You went right to the top. You said, "Hey, Mr. President, this ain't working for me, buddy."
Yeah, the Connollys run the university that I'm at down there. Great people. I love them to death. And they're really excellent people. It's a really small university, so I'm friends with all the administration and.
You're going to college.
Yes, sir.
You were starting on film.
Yeah.
And now what are you doing?
Well, people always told me that I should go into politics. And I was like, nah, politics isn't for me. So I decided that I would custom build a political communications degree with an emphasis in philosophy. And I hope to be a public servant someday.
Right. I feel like an underachiever, and that half of that went over my head. But you'll have to speak slower for me. But Chaz, let's talk a little bit about you yourself when most of people your age and even now are hitting the video games, which they're okay, or doing other things or watching World Cup soccer. God bless them. Bless their hearts. You were doing speeches. You were giving speeches. You were doing research about our government, our history. What fascinated you so much at a young age that you decided to learn about Patrick Henry as opposed to something else?
I think for me, there's kind of this attachment to just the American dream and the American ideals that kind of have formed this nation, those principles of liberty and equality. And that's something that's really kind of captivated me, especially reading the Constitution and understanding it.
Wait a minute. You've read the Constitution?
Yeah, 2-3 times, something like that. I actually have an application on my phone. I sit down and read it for fun. I know I'm weird, but
we need more people like you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But I was studying and reading, and you see so many problems in our culture today and in our society as Americans, and you're like, if only there was a guidebook. Well, I got news for you. There happens to be. It's called the United States Constitution. And after reading that and studying that, and I should really thank the American Legion and their program, the Oratorical, which is what gave me the opportunity to really start studying and start speaking. It was the opportunity that I needed to kind of focus some of the gifts that I have in speaking and being in front of people. And so that contest really gave me an opportunity to channel what I had learned in regards to the Constitution in a way that was constructive and educational to the best of my abilities.
Right, at 580-KIDO. By the way, if you have a thought for the youth of today, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. But you have most of your folks that are into the technology, into the phones, into the Facebook. A lot of us worry that the writings of Hamilton, Jefferson, and Jay, the Federalist Papers, not Jefferson, but Hamilton, Madison, and Jay. So you would have corrected me on that. I'm a little intimidated already. And then you've got Jefferson, the brilliant writer of these fine documents. Is it relevant to your generation and the generations after you?
I absolutely think so. I mean, the problem for me, like after examining all of this, the problem for me is what our founding documents, the Federalist Papers, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, what those outline is not, in my opinion, a form of government. It is a form of society. It is a form of morality and virtue. And I think that's something that this country has lost. We've lost that lifeblood of virtue and justice and morality that aligns all of these documents, all of these classical ideals. We've lost that beating heart of virtue that keeps us in line, because without virtue, we can't do any of these things. We fall to selfishness, as I've been reading a lot of Plato and Aristotle recently, and they speak of virtue as the ultimate good. Virtue is what keeps us in line, because virtue is when your reason governs your passions as an individual. And when you're ruled by your passions, you're selfish, you're greedy, you do things for your own gain, for your pleasure, because that's what feels good, that's what the passions desire. And I think we live in a society where we are run by our passions, and without our reason to temper those passions, the rational animals that we are, when we don't have that reason anymore, we cannot support or move towards documents like the Constitution and the Federalist Papers. We can't even comprehend the wisdom in those pages because we are so unruly and passionate.
Yeah, but we see that today where it's mob rule, which Hamilton always worried against. And we see that today where it's an opinion poll, it's this, that, and the other. Never mind the law, it's all about how you feel or some nonsense like that. So as a young person today that's concerned about the employment, concerned about the future, concerned about you living the American dream, how concerned are you about your generation's ability to live up to your parents' or their parents' American dream? In other words, is that in jeopardy, and is that a fear common with millennials?
I think I was in Southern California at a talk recently by a conservative, I guess you'd call him speaker. You might be familiar with him, Bill Whittle. But he was down there, and I was at a talk at one of Ramona Tea Party's events. And he,
you go to Tea Party events?
I do, yes.
Not much has changed with you.
I know. Some things never change. But I was at this talk with Bill, and I went up afterwards, and I asked him, I was so lost because I was like, what do I do in regards to my generation? Like, what can we do? And he said something that I'd never heard before. He said, you know what I think? I think your generation has the most desire out of any generation to do what's right. And I think that's true. I think my generation wants to do the best that they can and do good. The problem is that they're confused as to what good really is, and they've been led astray. And I think that standing here as a member of my generation looking around, like, it's kind of like humbling and I guess a little harrowing to think that if my generation didn't exist, I'm not sure that our current administration would have been reelected. Because there was a huge movement by my generation as a hip, like a pop culture icon, almost, not as a public servant. And so I think that my generation is concerned with matters of the future, but I think that they've been misguided, and they don't understand why we have the founding documents and why we have the systems that we have. They're not for progress. They're for, I'm trying to find the right word. There should not be a movement towards progress in the sense of we need to excel as a society. We need to evolve morally and virtuously, because it is through those values and traits, it is through those qualities that we will become more selfless and excel as a people. And I think that my generation understands that, and they want to excel. They want quote unquote progress. They want that. But at the end of the day, they think that that means calling a quote-unquote traditionalist a bigot and hateful. And I've had tons of friends say that. I've had tons of friends say, well, you don't know what you're talking about. You're just a traditionalist who's old and stuffy.
Right, even though how old are you?
I'm 20.
You're 20 years old. Kevin Miller, our friend Chaz Maine's with us here at 580KIDO. A view from the youth. So when you have to deal with the people of your ilk calling you names, because that's the modus operandi for them and for their older liberal brethren, how do you deal with that?
I mean, at the end of the day, for me, I used to be one of those people that would get really engaged and just get really heated, and that led to a lot of fiery rhetoric and not a lot of good logic. And right now I'm really trying to focus on the logic and reading Aristotle and, you know, understanding the logic in an argument. And so when I'm faced with something, you know, name calling and just like fiery rhetoric where you're attacking the person, not the argument, there's a couple things that I usually do in which sometimes I just disengage, because there's people like that that literally just want to name call and they don't want to resolve the argument.
Haven't we become a society of that, though?
I think we have. And I think that I was discussing this with a friend of mine regarding the Second Amendment, and he and I were kind of we're both conservatives, and we were bouncing ideas off each other. And I was like, why are there so many facts for the Second Amendment? How many lives guns save every year, and how many, you know, how, I don't want to say like how few lives they take, like that's a better argument, but like in all reality, millions saved, you know. And the numbers are so skewed in terms of we need the Second Amendment. And I was like, why don't people understand that? Like, why does that not make sense to people? And he brought up a very good point that I think I've seen time after time is in a liberal ideology, it's not so much that there's a factual basis. It's just like an ideologue that needs to campaign for something in terms of like their campaign, their mission, their personal excursion into life, I guess I'd say. And it's not so much an argument of facts and data like you have with the Second Amendment. It's simply, well, people are killed by firearms. It's like, yeah, people are killed by alcohol and cocaine too. So, I mean, where do we want to start? And I think that, in my opinion, I don't even understand why the Second Amendment is being debated. It's the Second Amendment of the Constitution. Don't touch it. Cut, dry, there it is, done. Like, it's not an argument for me.
All right, more coming up with our friend Chaz, by the way. Oh, let's go to the international playboy Pat from Middleton joins us here at 580KIDO. I wish you were half as smart as Chaz.
Well, I think I'm as smart as Chaz.
Oh.
I'm just older. Some of that wisdom came with time.
I'm
not,
with you.
Maybe not all at his age, but you know, I was still into baseball and chasing girls and lollipops.
You know, look, we've relived your life 1,000 times on this show.
Hey, but you know what, Chaz? You know, you said something that got me, and you know what? Your generation, you're correct about your generation wanting to do the right thing. You just lack an understanding of what that right direction is and everything like that.
See, but I take issue with that, Pat. I think every generation, except the decadent, deplorable folks of the 60s that hugged trees and burned bras, wanted to do the right things. We're having to clean up your mess.
Who called? Oh, no. I was born in the 60s. I didn't live the 60s.
Okay, just checking.
You know, I called in. This is exactly what I was going to say. Every generation wants to do the right thing. They all have that purpose in mind. But what happens is sometimes, and most times, they get a little power, and it goes to their heads, and then they go beyond. They think they got that power because of their ideals, when reality was they got that power and then liked it so much that they liked to exhort it. And so you're right. You just lack someone with the fortitude like yourself to stand up and take charge. There's not a lot of leadership anymore in your youth generation. You've got a lot of people that say things and want to do things, but don't really have the courage to stand up and really take the fight to them and say, look, this is what we believe in, guys. Come on, let's take this and move forward with it. There's no leaders in your group, and that's the problem.
Well, they voted for Obama. I blame them.
That's right. They like the ideas, and they like the idea of change, and they're easily swayed based on social media. They really, they're so intent in that stuff that Chaz, you've done your research on Patrick Henry and the Constitution, all that. So you've gone beyond the social media. You've actually done the research and studied history in the actual text form. But these guys, these social media, when they spread the word and all their friends are spreading the exact same word, it's easier to follow. And you've got a lot of followers and no leaders.
I absolutely agree with that. I think you're absolutely correct. I think that that's more of a reflection not on the ideology of the people. I think you're absolutely right in that we need strong leadership, and that's something that I hope to do someday through public service. But I think it's an excellent point that you just brought up.
You figured this point. I was lost.
I think it's more of a commentary on my generation being almost lackadaisical and wanting someone to champion it for them. I think my generation is an entitlement generation. We think we deserve these things. I mean, look at the Occupy Wall Street movement. That was an entire group of college kids that wanted to stand on the street and just say we deserve this when they didn't work for it and they didn't earn it. And then go ahead.
They get out of school and think that they're supposed to have the same income their parents have after they put in 30, 40 years of effort to get there.
Absolutely.
But that is not totally your fault because you are not educated. You were told, hey, if you go to school, this will all be yours. Hey, if you do these things, this will all be yours. And you deserve it. It was the adults that taught you that and coddled you and said, oh, you fell down. Oh, let's pick him up and carry him to the sideline. No. Oh, you got a boo-boo? Get your butt back in there and start playing.
Well, speaking of which, get your butt back into the plant.
Into the plant? Well, I'm out there every day, man.
Well, when are you coming back in on Saturday?
Hey, I can't this Saturday. It's my daughter's birthday, but maybe I can come in the following Saturday.
No, we're off then.
You're off?
Yeah.
Well, then the following one after that.
I've heard that before. I got to run.
All right. You have a good one.
All right. Pat from Middleton at 580KIDO. Quickly to pro-life for our friend Chaz at 580KIDO. Hello, pro-life.
Hello there. Yeah, I'm glad you have Chaz on there. Chaz, I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
I believe that the everybody around the whole world is peer pressure oriented, and they all have a conscience, and so they will give in to peer pressure rather than follow their conscience. And it's a spiritual condition that is all around the globe, and that's the problems that we have. And our education system does not deal with that, and even the churches don't deal with that. They deal with doctrine over conscience. And so native conscience or common sense, I guess you'd call it, that's always suppressed. And so just tell me what you think about that.
All right,
pro-life, thank you for the call. And Chaz, if you can answer that quickly, and then we'll go to the traffic.
Absolutely. I think that's very valid, and I think that comes back to Pat from Middleton's point. I think we need leadership that is virtuous and leads by example, an example of love and virtue, not power. And I think greed is such a powerful force that is very overwhelming. And I think good leadership, virtuous leadership, loving leadership would be our best shot at counteracting that.
More coming up with our friend Chaz. You're listening to 580KIDO 823.
The D&B Garden Show with Debbie Cook, Saturday mornings at 10 on 580KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO. Our friend Chaz Baines with us as we continue on quickly to more phone calls. Tea Party Bob at 580KIDO.
Good morning, Kevin. Good morning, Chaz.
How are you?
You know, it's kind of interesting to me. It took me 66 years to get interested in politics and what's going on in our country. And this young man's 20 years old, and he's going to get him as quickly as he can. I presume he had some good parents that taught him a lot about what's going on in our Constitution, because you certainly don't learn that in the schools anymore. But I'm kind of curious. I've tried to get involved with some of the youth groups, and I find it a little difficult for some reason for them to listen to somebody that's 70 years old. You know, are there any groups?
I thought you were 60. I thought you were 69.
Well, hey, listen, you know, I'm close enough.
All right.
Moving on to the next one, Kevin, like you.
Tough.
Are there any groups that you'd recommend that the younger generation might gravitate to, the get a better understanding about what's happening in our country?
Are you referring to political groups or youth groups?
I'm just talking about groups that have an actual understanding of what's happening in this country.
Actually, yeah, there's a movement I'm going to school down in Southern California, and there's a movement down there called I Am Tomorrow. And it was started by a girl that I competed against in the American Legion Oratorical at the national level, and she was representing the state of California. And we've actually stayed in contact. And she's got a group down there that is literally an entire collection of young people becoming politically active and moving and educating as best they can. And she and I are going to be working together here in a couple of months to work with the Tea Party down in Southern California, the North County Conservatives. And we're going to we're actually going to be doing a I don't want to call it a lecture, but...
That helps us in California. Any groups locally is what Bob's question is.
I mean, what about somebody like Young Americans for Liberty?
I think I'm not familiar enough with those groups in around here. I was kind of focusing in the American Legion, and then I've gone off to school since then. But I've heard nothing but good things about the Young Americans for Liberty, and I've heard good things about Young Republicans groups on college campuses. I believe there's one at Boise State. And I think there's one at U of I as well. And those are groups of people that are working hard to educate their peers. And I've known a couple people that are over here at Boise State in the Young Republicans group or the
Fair enough. Bob, we'll see you tomorrow.
You take care, Kevin. See you tomorrow morning.
All right, thank you. Quickly to your old friend Daryl with the Canyon County Tea Party. We'll probably see Daryl and Sheila tomorrow. Daryl, not a lot of time, but what would you like to say to Chaz?
Well, I'd like to have him. I really enjoyed a presentation he gave on whose responsibility or whose duty is it to protect the Constitution. He gave a very good presentation on that. Might be good for him to say a little bit about that. Hey, Kevin, don't let him grind you down.
You beat me to it. I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay, tomorrow.
All right. Right back at you. Quickly to Tom Munns, TomMunns.com for Chaz.
Good morning, Chaz. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Tom.
Hey, Chaz, I got a deal. I'm hoping that you'll jump in on this. It'd be perfect for you. I was in communication with the University of Idaho up there in Moscow during the state convention, and they had these free speech zones. Well, it opened up a door that I think that we should utilize, and I thought of you this morning when I heard you on the radio. They're looking for people to talk to their constitutional law class. And I actually was given the opportunity to be able to do that, but I would gladly step aside if you wanted to do it. But I would, there's a lady named Shelby up there that was answering the phone. And
well, maybe you can do the personal message to him on Facebook.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, it's a great opportunity. I love what he's doing, and keep up the good work.
And Tom, we love you. It's not radio. It's Kevin Miller.
I betcha.
You're a great American. All right. Thank you.
Right.
By a little gratuitous there of me. Quickly to Miles at 580KIDO.
Right. I'm a direct descendant of Samuel Adams, and, yes. The slogan of the American Revolution, Chaz, was no king but King Jesus. And the focus on the Bible seems to be missing in our great books of study of the great books of the Western world.
Absolutely.
And I wonder if you had any take on that aspect, the concept of liberty that's embedded in the Scripture.
Great, great point. Final minute. Chaz.
I think that is simply a reflection on the loss of virtue within our society. And I know I keep coming back to that, but at the end of the day, I think America's problem is not a matter of legislation. We don't need more laws. We need virtue. And looking to texts like the Bible and to the sacred scriptures and to the Constitution and to those founding documents, it's a return to the morality and this stepping away from the moral decay that has infiltrated our society that I think will save this country. And I think that is possible. And I think that we need, back to that leadership point, we need those leaders who will sacrifice themselves, not for the money, not for the power, not for the glory, but to bring people into the light of virtue and to bring people with them out of this cave. If you've read Plato's Republic, there is this cave of ignorance. And I think that scripture and text, just like the Constitution, will be the guiding light to bring us out of that darkness.
Good luck, my friend.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Great job.
Thank you.
You're listening to 580KIDO.
Good morning to you, Kevin.
We take a look at the finances of the state. How are we doing as far as the other states in our region and across the country? Are we doing okay?
Idaho's doing great. I attended a conference just last month, and we listened to an economic update for all the states across the nation from rating agencies and then one of the major national banks. And Idaho is ranked very high on the list of how they're doing economically. In fact, this national bank said that if they were to deploy capital or make an investment in a state, Idaho would be at the top of the list. So that's good news. There's a lot of good things going on in this state.
Well, and when we take a look at the financial records of other states or cities, it really comes down to their ability to get money to raise money. And if you don't have a just like all of us, if your credit's not good, you're not going to get those funds. You're going to give them a higher rate. So would that help us economically, let's say, for more projects, whether it's city, county, or state, to get money to build more infrastructure?
Oh, absolutely. Idaho has got one of the best credit ratings in the state, even though we're not a triple A. There's about five states that have the triple A that have had it for a period of time, and it's a fairly extensive process to go through, fairly expensive process to go through. But Idaho is one notch below the triple A. We're at a double A1, and we're doing very well. So it's exciting to see what's happening in the state economically, because even though it's not a real rapid growth, it seems to be a steady growth that's increasing steadily. And our unemployment is going down as well.
It is. And how does that impact people driving in today at 580KI? They go, well, that's the state. It really doesn't impact my life. But it could impact the cost of living if the state does not have good credit.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I'm glad you brought that up, because I kind of wanted to talk about that fact. The credit rating of the state of Idaho affects every single bond that's issued in this state that's a public bond. So, for example, a school district bond or a fire district bond or the Idaho Building Authority that issues bonds, they're all anchored off of the state's credit rating, which is the tax anticipation note process that we just went through this week. And that's good news, because that means that property taxpayers who service the debt on those bonds are paying a lower interest rate than they would if Idaho didn't have that good credit rating. A lot of states are not doing so well. You take Illinois, California, some of those states that don't manage their finances like Idaho does, they pay a much, much higher rate than we do.
Well, and that is a concern when you see these states like California, as you said, Illinois, New Jersey, that are, you know, soaking in the red ink.
Exactly. New Jersey missed a calculation on their revenues by like $800 million. And so it's really been a setback for them. They were downgraded just recently, as was Kansas.
Which means more money out of pocket.
More money out of pocket to operate. Absolutely. Now, as it relates to Idaho's operating cash, our money does not come in evenly throughout the fiscal year. Our fiscal year is from July 1 through June 30th. And by the time we get to November the 15th, we have expended about 60 to 62% of our budget, and yet we've only taken in about 38 to 40% of our revenues. The bulk of our revenues come in the fourth quarter, as you might imagine, April 15th. So how do we cover that deficit? Last year's deficit, for example, on November 15th was $794 million. That's a pretty big hole. Well, I've got to keep the general fund in the black. So what we have done for the last 30-plus years is we issue tax anticipation notes, sell those notes in the open marketplace, and then take the proceeds from those notes and level out our cash flows until that fourth quarter those revenues come in, and then we repay the notes. So this year we set it at about $475 million. I went to Wall Street, got the notes rated by the three main rating agencies, and then took them into the marketplace on Tuesday of this week.
What was that like, going to Wall Street, though, representing the state?
Well, we're very well received.
Mm-hmm. That's quite a responsibility.
It is, but it's a very interesting process. And they ask very penetrating questions. They want to know what we're thinking, how we're dealing with our problems. We have problems just like every other state has problems. But it's the way that we handle our problems that impresses them. For example, in the bad times, we cut budgets to match revenues. In the good times, we set money aside in rainy day funds to prepare for the bad times. Novel idea, huh? Kind of like you would do your personal finances.
Sure.
But because we do it that way, and we come together as a state, you know, so many states get into this political jihad, going back and forth with the governor's office, pointing at the legislature, and the legislature pointing at the governor, and, oh, it's your fault that we're in this mess, and we don't want to cut this budget. We don't do that. We come together, we do what we have to do, and we make it work. And, you know, money's not red or blue. It's green. So the way you manage it is very important. And the way we manage ours is extremely well received on Wall Street. So I took those notes to market on Tuesday. I had originally thought we'd be at about 15, 16 basis points on an interest rate for those notes. We entered the market at 13 basis points, so I was pleased because that's down 6 basis points from where we were last year. We paid 19 basis points for it, and that was the lowest interest rate in the history of the state. We took those notes into the market at for about an hour, 45 minutes to an hour, at 13 basis points, and I had orders for $3.1 billion, and I was only selling $475 million. And five of the buyers wanted the entire package to put in their portfolio. Now, the buyers for these notes are the big mutual funds. It's like Vanguard, Fidelity, BlackRock, Charles Schwab, Deutsche Bank, to name just a few. And they all have stocks and bonds and real estate and venture capital. And then they have a category in their portfolios called municipal paper. And that's the category that Idaho falls into. And they're looking for quality paper to put in their portfolio. These are one-year notes. They're wanting some quality paper to put in that category for municipal paper. So they're wanting to buy Idaho notes.
Well, it's a heck of an endorsement.
It really is. It really is. So I had orders for $3.1 billion. So I knew we could bump that interest rate a little bit. We bumped it. I thought we'd maybe bump it down to 12. We bumped it to 11 and filled all the orders, and the buyers all held. So $11 per $100,000. That's pretty cheap money.
It is. Now, let me hit you with this quickly. At 580KIDO, you're giving money away.
Oh, you mean through unclaimed property?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I know you're thinking.
You switched gears on me there.
I know, because we've only got about 4 minutes left in the segment, so I wanted to get you on that.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, it's funny. I love how you corrected me, rightfully so. I just kind of throw something out. But, yeah, let's talk a little bit about that.
Oh, that's an exciting program that the state treasurer houses. It moved over from the tax commission in 2010, and this is money that people have forgotten that they have. It's bank accounts, savings accounts, stocks, bonds, life insurance proceeds perhaps from unused premium on a property or casualty policy. For example, let's say that you switch your car insurance to Geico to save 15% or more. And you forget that you have some unused premium on that old policy. Well, after 5 years, that company has to turn that unclaimed property over to the state of Idaho. And then we attempt to locate the rightful owner and reconnect them with their money. We have about $120 million that we're holding in trust. And last year, we were able to return $5.5 million to people here in Idaho that did not even remember that they had that money. So it's an exciting thing. When it moved over from the tax commission, it was taking about 6 months to process a claim. And this year, we watched that drop down to 2 weeks. Time frame that it takes to process a claim. Now it's bumped back up a little bit from that because of the heavy volume, but that's pretty good stuff. So your listeners can go on to our website, sto.idaho.gov, or just idaho.gov, and click on the unclaimed property link, and then type in their name, and they can find out if we're holding any funds for them.
That is good. We've got about a minute left. What else would you like to say? Anything exciting?
Well,
you've pretty broken a lot of news here this morning.
One other thing that I would just quickly mention is Idaho's College Savings Plan program, which is housed in the state treasurer's office. A great program because every dollar that you put into this savings account for your kids' college education is deductible off of your Idaho income tax, up to $4,000 if you're single, or $8,000 if you're married and you file jointly. And then it grows tax-free, and when it's pulled out to be used for college expenses, it's tax-free at the federal level. So I encourage you can open one of these accounts for as little as $25.
I don't even have kids, and I'm going to get a kid just to invest.
Well, you can open one for yourself.
Exactly.
Go back to school.
I absolutely like that idea.
It's a great idea, and it's a great savings program, and currently we're running about close to $300 million and 25,000 accounts, so it's catching on in Idaho. People are starting to understand that college education is important, but it's expensive, and you need to start saving on it now. IDSaves.org.
Idaho State Treasurer Ron Crane, thank you.
You betcha.
We appreciate it.
My pleasure to be in the studio this morning.
It's pretty palatial, isn't it?
Yeah, and the water's good.
You're listening to 580 KIDO. Time for traffic. Good morning.
Steve Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Yeah, let's go to traffic at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Dave. All right, quickly to Rocky. Rocky, sorry about that. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Hard man to get a hold of. Well, for me, anyway.
I'm with you, brother. You got 30 seconds.
Well, let me tell you, soccer is like communist kickball. Doesn't have any. Doesn't make sense. It doesn't ever work. But I want to tell you about virtue and all this other stuff. The country was founded on the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we have gone so far away from that, even in colleges. You can't even mention God in college. So where are we going to go? Nowhere. It's not going to help until we repent. That's it. Come on. What do you think?
I agree, Rocky. I agree.
So I don't know what's going to happen. Well, I do know what's going to happen. It's not going to get any better until that happens. So
God bless,
God
Rocky.
Bless you, pal.
God bless you.
Yeah.
Bye-bye, our great friend Rocky. Remember, tomorrow it's the All-Star Panel. Kevin Miller here wishing you good day. God bless. Thank you all for listening, and keep the faith. Serving.